You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Toby Keith. I wish you didn't know now. I don't think he's from Texas, though. He sings country music.
No.
Mike Musselman's from Texas. At least he is now.
All that matters, man. All that matters is where my feet are on the ground now.
That's all that matters, okay? Don't bother me with the history lesson. I'll tell you what matters. Okay, email question. Mac, I've been watching the news, heard your comments earlier. How does somebody fall off a ship? This has happened again.
What?
This has happened again, so it's in the last 2 weeks, twice, people have fallen off ships. How does one legitimately fall off a ship? Mike, you've been aboard a ship. How does somebody fall off a ship? What's a legitimate way somebody would fall off a ship?
This is easy to answer.
All right.
Very easy. So, whoever wrote that, if you're that person that you're driving by and you look at somebody and you're like, how did that person do that? How did that person drive through the red light or drive through the stop sign or walk into a telephone pole? Okay? All of these same people have the same thing in common. Meaning, no matter if it's a ship falling off a ship or, again, walking into a telephone pole, they're going to do it because they're people that just don't have the situational awareness of others. Like normal folks. You know, it said, they give a class, don't be up here at night, don't do it over here. Don't stand behind the jet when it starts up because there's a lot of air that comes out of these big holes in the back of the jet. You know, and it's powerful enough to push this thing and propel this thing through space, air. I think it's got enough power to push you over the side of the boat. I mean, there's a lot of rules, man.
But even then, these people just don't pay attention, dude.
But
even then, a ship, like around the edge of the flight deck, there's nets that go out about 10 feet, right? So you got to get blasted off the deck, not nudged off the deck. But that would be right? So, I mean, there's nets that stick out of the flight deck, and you fall into those. But that would at least be a legitimate way that somebody gets blown off a ship by the air wash of an aircraft. Aside from
jet
that...
Jet wash. The
jet wash of an aircraft, excuse me. Aside from that, there's no other than, you'll be on the fantail of the ship when you're throwing garbage off the ship. I don't know if they still do it that way, but that's, you know. Other than that, I guess on some ships you go outside, you're standing by the rail, but falling overboard on the rail, the only way that can happen is if you're screwing off. You know, so to me the question is, are these suicides?
No, that's just stupid. Stupid sides.
It's stupid sides?
Yeah.
Oh, I think we just made
these
up. I just think we made up a word.
Yeah. No, I've said that before.
Stupid.
You know, you got suicides. Those are people that, you know, have every intention to end in life. Then you get stupid sides. Those are like the Darwin guy.
Oh, that group.
Yeah. They're like, hey, check this out. And then it ends badly, and everybody's like, man, I never saw that coming. Because you're stupid. That's a stupid side.
Right. No, you know what? That's a great term. That's a great term. We've done this show for 2 years, and I've never heard stupid side.
I'm sorry. I was holding back on you.
Why are you holding out on me, girl?
Yeah.
Hey, I just have to tell you, I had an awesome experience. Colleen played volleyball in Anaheim yesterday at Anaheim High School. Anaheim High School built in 1898, okay? So pretty old for around here in California. And so we go over there. And one of the great things about, and Mike was talking yesterday about mentoring and whatnot. So Colleen, unbeknownst to me, is the captain of her team, which I love, because I didn't vote on that. Her family didn't vote on it. Somebody else did.
Her peers
or her coach. So they play 2 out of 3 games. She's on the junior varsity team. And so, they win the first game, Anaheim wins the second game, third game, so you played a 25 in the first two games in volleyball, and then you play 15-15. So in the third game, it's 17-17, so they're in overtime. Colleen's going to serve, right? And Colleen's turned herself into a pretty good volleyball player because she's not athletic gifted. But she's a hard worker in keeping with her brothers and sisters, her sister. And so now you got the varsity, you know, people that are there, that both teams and parents. You've got the junior varsity, so it's as crowded as the gym was. And you got the kids from Anaheim High School are just stomping their feet and screaming, hoping she'll power it in the net. And this is what I kind of dovetail off what Mike was saying yesterday about mentoring and coaching and what these programs do for kids. Because, so Colleen smokes two serves and her team wins. Now, you can never take that away from her, okay? She did that. It wasn't a participation medal, so, oh, you showed up, here you go. It was the work, hard work she did in practice, in this the craziest sports situation she's ever been in, she smoked it. And the life lesson you get, and Mike was talking about this yesterday, that changes their lives, is the next time she's in it, you know what she's going to think? I can do this. I can do this.
Yeah. This ain't so bad. This isn't like what they told me.
Yeah. It's not terrifying anymore. I can do this. And the way you do it is you make them practice and you put stress on them and you have expectations and you have structure and then they begin to achieve. And guess what you've taught them? You've taught them the recipe to be successful. And it is cooler than shit. To watch it.
When the light comes on, that they understand now that what it takes to actually to win.
To win.
You know, and that's what it comes down to is winning. Successful business, winning, sports, winning, they all have one thing in common. It's the recipe of winners, winning.
And so got a little dose yesterday, and you know, you're sitting there as a parent going, oh please, oh please, oh please, oh please. But it was a great little game to watch, and you see life-changing moments, right, in people's lives. But you can't you can't give that to them. They have to earn it. They have to go do it. And it comes from hard work. And I love that kind of shit and the mentoring that goes into it. And you know, I don't know if I told you, but in Grand Forks yesterday, I don't know if I mentioned this, but these guys had listened to my radio show. And I came on, and they do a summer arts thing. They don't turn away any. Uh-huh. They don't turn away any kid, Mike. Anybody who wants to be in their arts program. So they come on, I'm interviewing them, and they in the first 5 minutes they say, well, Mac, here's what we do in this arts program: we put on musicals, we put on dramas, we put on variety shows where kids sing and dance and do all that stuff. So we do the arts, and then they're like, we know you're not an arts guy. I said, I know, but I'm not a hater.
No.
And they said, but here's what we do: we teach teamwork, we teach discipline and respect. In the context of the arts, and we don't turn anybody away. I said, whoa, you don't turn anybody away? No, we find a spot for everybody that wants to be a part of it. You know, whether they do audio, whether they do lighting, whether they build sets, whether they play the trumpet.
Yeah. And I like that. That's cool.
Oh, my. And I was a huge fan. And then Catherine got involved in it. And it's an awesome summer program. For a lot of kids that are involved in the arts that aren't particularly athletic, some do both, but I love programs like that because those lessons are the ones that we see in the Marine Corps. Kids that can do that. I love that.
Yeah.
So anyway. All right, what do you got going today? What's exciting? Tell me about Mike Musselman's world.
No, not today. I mean, today's kind of just, like I said, today's recovery day.
Another recovery?
Very exciting.
How many recovery
days
do you
get in a
week?
It's a relaxing day, man.
Oh, relaxing day.
Every day is a recovery day, dude.
Hold on, another email. All right, so being blown overboard by jet wash is the only legitimate way to fall overboard?
No, because you weren't paying attention there either. I mean, they teach you where not to stand, where not to be, behind the yellow gear. Don't go over there's a line. Don't go past this line. I mean, you go through a course, man. I mean, and then you get certified to actually be up there. You know, it's not like the place is run by a bunch of monkeys. It's that place is a well-oiled, well-tuned facility, and they can't afford that kind of stuff because this is what happens when people don't pay attention. So, I don't know the facts, but I can tell you that they got a pretty good program, man. I mean,
yeah, you can just judge by the numbers. Look at how many ships transit all over the world, and how often do we see this stuff? You don't,
right?
So, but again, I'm trying to think of in my time on an aircraft carrier, when people went in the water, and nobody went in the water. And I'm talking about, you know, some of the things you do on the exterior of the ship is the bosun's when you do underway refueling, right? Another ship pulls up alongside of you, a refueler. You shoot a line across. You pull lines back and forth based on that one line that I think it's shot by some kind of low-level shotgun, right? And they shoot it onto the deck of the other ship. And now then they start doing this pulley thing, and pretty soon you're plugged in and you're driving right next to them, and they're refueling you. And so the bosun's on the outside of the ship. I've been moored in the bay at Pattaya Beach in Thailand, and you know people come and go off the Admiral's launch. Yeah, and nobody in the water there. It's all pretty well organized. It's all safe. It's nothing crazy watch your step here. It's none of that. So,
no, I mean, like I said, stay out the catwalks at night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like three metal bars that keep you from coming into the ocean that are slippery with crusted salt from the sea. I mean, it's not a no-brainer, man.
But again, if you're climbing over or near, on those things, and I will tell you this, sometimes stupid asses do that, right? They're bored.
Yeah, I'm going to get this picture and put it on Facebook of me hanging from the catwalk outside the ship.
Oh,
that didn't work.
So it's not, it's not, again, Mike and I both spent time aboard ships at sea, and not a short amount of time either, and it's not.
And the only time I ever fell overboard was on purpose. We stopped by the equator, and they dropped the well deck, and we went swimming.
Really?
Yeah.
I've only seen pictures of that. That looks like, you know, they used to do that shit in World War II. You see that stuff, and you're like, damn.
Dude, they did that. It was kind of freaky at first. You're like, no. And then when you see what really scared me, here's what really scared me.
And you're not. And look, just so people know, Mike's not afraid of the water.
No. I love the water. But what scared me was the fact that the Navy guys had the M14s for a shark watch.
Duh.
So it was kind of like, wait a second. So I used to joke around and tell, why are the Navy guys got rifles? Oh, to shoot you, so you're not going to go through the pain of being eaten by a shark. Which, in actuality, is probably more true than the other, you know?
Well, you know, it's certainly, in that lie, there's enough truth to get most Marines to bite. What'd you just say? Yeah, well, if a shark gets you.
The purpose of that guy is to shoot you when the shark starts to eat you. What? Yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, being a young kid, you know, they had a bunch of pigs. And so you go in there and they have a gun. And you're like, what's the gun for, uncle? And, in case you fall down, the pigs will eat you. So I'm just going to shoot you to get you out of it. You know, it was just a joke. But as a little kid, you're like, well, shit, don't fall down. Don't fall. Pigs will eat you. I mean, that was the number one concern. Don't fall down. Don't fall down. Then you realize these pigs can't. They're so stupid, they wouldn't know what to do. Yeah.
What's that? What's that?
I fell for it. Hook, line, and sinker, man.
But you know what? The best part about doing this with Marines is, right, so they're all like, yeah, we're going swimming, whoa, 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 whoa. And then everybody's getting ready, right? They're dropping their trousers, right? Or they're taking their boots off, and they're folding and stacking your clothes because you got some staff. So, hey, put your clothes over here, right? So,
yeah.
Right? So you're trying to have a good time, and people are even screwing that up. And so then somebody, you know, so while you're doing that, you got some wise-ass like Mike who's standing there, and then somebody says, hey, man, why do those squids have M14s? And then Mike, in a very matter-of-fact way, because when you're standing here and you hear it, when you're standing there and you hear it, it's hilarious. Oh, yeah, if a shark gets you, they're supposed to shoot you in the head and kill you. That way you don't, you're not in any pain. And then all of a sudden you see all these heads turn and go, what? And they believe it, right? They believe. And then you hear the discussion. That's bullshit. And then whoever said it, somebody like Mike, is usually a little bit smarter than the rest of them. And he gets about half of them to believe
stop
it.
Stop and walk away. Don't engage when they when someone. See, the problem is it's lost when people like stop and fight. They're like, no, I'm sure. You know, no. Just look at them and give them a smirk and go, all right, you've been warned. And walk away. Because then that resonates with them and they're like, shit, was he telling you, huh? Alright. And then the whole time in the water, they're not having fun because they're worrying about if they're going to get eaten or get shot in the head. Or both.
I got half eight and then I got shot in the head. Like, what the hell?
Yeah. He missed me three times and hit me in the shoulder twice. Once in the clavicle. Paralyzed me with the fourth shot. And then the shark went away.
Yeah, and I'm
so that's how I'm paralyzed today, yeah. And I got a shark bite on my left thigh, but I got four bullet wounds and paralyzed from the, yeah. Because he wasn't very good.
With an M14, no less. And so then it gets even better, though. So you're standing around doing something, cleaning weapons, and all of a sudden somebody says something like this. Hey, did you know the reason those squids have M14s is when if we get bitten by a shark, they shoot us in the head? And so you stand there, and you're listening to this, and now another discussion ensues. And you look and you say, who told you that? Oh, Sergeant Musselman did. Sergeant Musselman did, sir. Right? And then they look at you and they say, have you heard that? And so now it's like, I can kill this thing right now. But why would I? This is unbelievable.
It's too much fun.
Yeah, it's too much fun. And then when you see Musselman, you look at him like, you're an idiot. What?
Well played. No, usually I get the well played. Like, well played. Well played.
Those ass clowns are still talking about that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't just happen once either. It happens repeatedly. But it's pretty funny when you hear them talk. Let me tell you, that was the, discussions like that, and this one's a serious one. That's how Jason Dunham, that discussion about could you cover a hand grenade with your helmet and your sappies, they
had by Jason Dunham.
Yeah, and his squad. And so when they saw what happened, they knew exactly what he did. Oh, no, we argued about it. Could you survive it? And he said, no, I think you can survive it. If it's just a concussion, people survive being concussed by a grenade, you know, with nothing around them. You have a helmet between you and it, can you? So, yeah, those are those kind of discussions. So
anyway. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, and those are... Yeah, those are cool discussions to have.
Yeah, because they start over, you know, a question about something, and then oftentimes, you know, people have little bits and pieces of it, and you know, and there's normally some smart guys mixed in there, and you know, the discussions are pretty interesting discussions when you walk into it. Like, what are we talking about?
Right.
Wow, that isn't. I don't know. No, sir. Could you survive it? Not is it smart to do or should you do it? But do you think could you survive it?
Well, I mean, you could survive anything. I mean, really, like I said, I'm a firm believer. When it's your time, it's time, though.
When it's...
No matter what.
Wait, when it's your time, it's your time?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Easy.
Yep.
I mean, you can't deny that. And, you know, if you've been in combat and you've seen the things that we've seen, it's like, no, when it's your time, your time.
Did you always believe that?
No, not really. I mean, like I said, the things that I've seen, it's like, how? No.
You can't deny it.
You know, those three guys live, this guy died. I mean, they're separated by just inches. You know? It just doesn't make sense sometimes. So.
And you see it.
Maybe it's not supposed to make sense.
And you see it over and 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 over. The randomness.
The randomness of it. I mean, yeah, I mean, talk about a 12-sided dice that someone plays with your life. I mean, geez, the randomness is just ridiculous.
Yeah, stupid.
So that's why I always say, don't get wrapped around it. Live as if it was your last.
Yeah. No, I mean,
and enjoy it.
My dad, I think I told you this, but my dad, when I got back from Iraq the first time, he goes, all those prayers I said paid off. I laughed.
Yeah.
I said, I know that makes you feel good, but Dad, he doesn't listen. How could
right.
you, why would you say that? How could you say that? I said, because I think you got to be there a grand total of 60 days before you've seen enough shit, enough craziness. You know, Gunny walks out of a building. This happened at Blue Diamond. He walks out of a building. He forgets something. He walks back in to grab it. He walks back out. Mortar round lands a foot from him and kills him. And again, it's not shot at him. It's just shot into the air that lands somewhere on that base. He forgets his sunglasses or something, goes back to fetch him, and that costs him his life. Like, holy shit, man. You know, 19-year-old kid, a ricochet, right, hits just above his throat guard after he's standing on a cordon in Ramadi with the 1st Brigade Combat Team in 2004. And he bleeds to death. A ricochet above his neck collar by a quarter inch kills him? And you just see this shit over and over and over. You know, Paul Kennedy showed me a picture of Paul Kennedy was a battalion commander in Ramadi in 2004 of the 2nd Battalion, 4th Marines. One of his guys had his lower jaw blown off. And this guy, he showed me a picture of him. And they reconstructed his jaw. They reconstructed his mouth. Unbelievable, Mike. Unbelievable. I mean, we were talking about the miraculous things that you know, have been done for some guys. And holy shit. But I'll never forget that. I never, you know, because the SIG event, when they reported it, said that his entire lower jaw had been removed by the shrapnel that hit him, you know, horizontally. And I thought, what? Holy shit, man. Like, how do you, like, what happens to you? I've never even thought about something like that. And first time that I ever thought, like, wow, you know, all the different, you know, people that will be disfigured here. You can never kiss
right.
You can never kiss anybody. Are your kids going to be scared when they look at you? Like, what the hell? So, yeah, so all that stuff. Another email. Can we go back to falling overboard? What happens when you fall overboard? Well, first of all,
let's see. I can answer this. Depends on how high you are.
Yeah.
If the higher you are, as soon as you fall over, you're going to feel the sensation of falling. Depending on how you hit the water, water is not soft like everybody tells you. Water is hard, depending on how high you fall. So you can go unconscious. You can be knocked. I mean, there's a lot of different things. But different angles, you know, you're going to fall in. When you fall off the deck of an aircraft carrier, if you go in sideways, like the belly flop, you're screwed. I mean, that's what, 6 stories, 8 stories up? I mean, that's a good jump.
And the shock, I mean, that's a lot of speed when you hit the water. And so what happens, though, is it depends if somebody sees you, one. They're sponsoring.
If you're wearing those blue camis, you're screwed.
Yeah, you'll be invisible.
At the Navy House.
Yeah. If you're wearing a, you know, what do they call those vests? I can't remember what they call them, but if you're wearing if you're wearing one of those, there's a saltwater activated
light.
Light.
There's a light
and an inflator
and a dye marker, which is shark food. Don't activate that. It has been proven that sharks are attracted to dye markers.
That's no bullshit either. I'd like to tell you it is, that he's making up a story, but he's not. And so that happens, and hopefully somebody sees you.
That's the big one.
Yeah. If nobody sees you, if somebody sees you, you'll get recovered.
Okay, so if this all, so again, here's the dependent. If there's a helicopter on that ship and it's spinning, you get a really good chance.
Right.
If the ship doesn't have any of these things and it does see you, it's going to take about a half hour to an hour for it to put a launch in the water. So you're out there treading the water for quite some time. And you're now swimming to the ship because it's still doing about 30 knots. And by the time it slows down, it's going to be about a half a mile to a mile away from you.
And then it's got to turn and all that stuff. So.
Then it's got to turn. Well, then the launch goes out. I mean, it's a pretty big process. You know, and people are like, well, that's stupid. No, no. What's stupid is falling overboard. Don't do that.
Yeah, don't do that. Don't fall overboard. Yeah, it's all that. And as Mike said, if there's a helicopter, but, you know, on some surface units, I mean, we were part of, you know, aircraft carriers. So, yeah, there was a helicopter you could launch relatively quickly. But if not, you know, as Mike said, you have to turn a frigate around and you have to, you know, you have to launch, you know, put the launch in the water and they have to go get the guy if they see him. If it happens at night, you know, hopefully, again, they see it, the light functions, everything works, you turn around and you can go find the person. But, yeah. But that's the procedure. Man overboard drills, everybody reports to their place of work and you tick off and then slowly but surely you find out who it is. So, but a lot of times in these instances, there was no man overboard drill. The way they found out that these guys were unaccounted for, at some formation. And then they went down to their stateroom.
Right. And it could have been days.
Yes. Went down to the stateroom, went to the gym, all the places that people are. And then I remember not the last two or three were actually people overboard, but the two before that were both faked. Remember that? They stopped and they searched for days and then they found one dude like a month later or some shit, hiding in some, you know, void in near some engineer space. And then they found another dude that was hiding as well. So,
yeah,
weird shit. The another email, Mac, do you coach? Does the gunner coach? I know what I wanted to ask you.
I'm a life coach.
I've coached baseball, and I should start doing it again. I should start. Although I don't know if I can do it. It depends. I get very nervous now. You know, parents aren't going to be receptive to a little bit more structure than they're used to. Kids are used to. And so I don't know. It makes me nervous to do that. Mike teaches, so he still coaches shooting. And relative to that, I've been remiss, and I meant to ask you this yesterday. But
yeah.
Tell me when you saw the way that the girl in Iowa disappeared, that you just didn't go, oh, man. And I want you to talk about it in terms of situational awareness. You know, you're going
to
go.
Well, I don't know the whole story. I just know that the poor girl lost her life to this monster kind of idiot. But not really sure. But, you know, a lot of it is.
Let me just fill you in on what he supposedly wrote in his statement. He saw her running. He got out and he chased her down.
Oh,
she then stopped and said, get away from me or I'm going to call 911, and then took off running. He chased her again. And so I read that and I thought of you in terms of situational awareness and what you teach.
Yeah, I haven't read that or followed the story. I know it's heartbreaking and I don't want to read it because, you know, just sad, man. And that's horrible to me.
So what do you teach? I'm going to go, I live on the edge of Granbury and I've gone running around here forever. If I'm going to go.
But it's all about, you know, time, space, and distance. How do you create that from potential people that are going to cause you harm? You know, that's what it really comes down to, is how can you create distance? Because distance is light. You know, time is light. That's the key. You got to understand that. Time is life. The more time you have to make a decision, the more time you have between you and something bad, you're going to live longer, or you're going to live. But when I say live longer, you're going to live long. Each time you're going to live longer to make a better decision. It's like a process. You know, all you got to do is live to the next decision-making capability. Live to the next decision. Live to the next decision. And it's a process of making good decisions. And then the outcome is you live. If you don't have that, that's where you lose the battle, and normally people die.
Okay,
because
so
they didn't have the time to make better decisions for the next. You know, you're not making a decision to win the whole. It's not a whole thing. It's a series of battles. It's not one war. You're not going to win the war on. You got to win the series of battles.
Okay.
You know, create time and distance to get me in a position where I can either defend myself or get away and provide time for authorities to arrive, you know?
Okay. So in that context, I want to go running, and I have gone running. I've never been to your class, right? I show up at your class, and you start teaching me situational awareness, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, I go running every day by myself, listening to music, in a rural area. I mean, there's not many
people.
Yeah,
it doesn't happen to me. What is this guy talking about?
Not going to happen to me, this guy. But let me put my hand up and ask him. And I put my hand up and I say, so what advice would you give me? We've never had an issue. I go running by myself down the roads around different farms and ranches in the area. I know most of these people. I know most of these people. What advice would you give me? How do you entertain that question?
What do you mean? I don't understand. You're saying that the advice I give is not per person. It's universal.
Okay.
It works for everybody. But it's a habit you have to change. It's a lifestyle change. It's not just one thing. It's not like if I just do this one thing. No, it's a whole lifestyle change. Your whole life, you got to become more aware of your surroundings and what's going on around you. And, you know, so it's not, like I said, people lose, I think they lose the whole idea of it is not one thing that's going to work. It's a multiple of this plus this plus this. You know, that's how that stuff works.
So
not one device, not one thing. 911 is not the cure-all. 911 plus all of the other stuff, not getting yourself in a situation like that. You know, those are the things that work. It's a series. Think of it as layering. The more layers I can put on, the better. If I just have one layer, one layer is not a guarantee that you're going to live or lose. There's a possibility. That's where luck comes in.
Right.
You know, I just did the one thing, and boy, I got lucky, and I'm here to tell you my story. That is not what normally happens. And we've always preached that is luck, you know, I don't know. I would rather be good than lucky.
So luck prevents you from the random.
Luck only happens once in a while.
Right,
yeah,
the randomness, right?
It's random.
Good prevents you from the day in and day out incident.
Right.
And I think
good is boring because good requires everybody, you know, it requires the being consecutive, what's the word I'm looking for? Kind of making sure that, you know, everything I do is exactly the same. I do this way. I do it all the time. It's the redundancy. So, and not all the time is that, like you said, that's not, people don't like that. I don't know why. It's boring.
Well, yeah, it's not sexy, it's boring.
So, that's what you gotta do. I mean, really, like I said, it comes down to, you got to understand that, one, it is a randomness to it. I mean, it really is. I don't know. You're just the randomness. And so what you can do to prevent that, but you got to be good at it, man. I guess where the good comes into is good at understanding that, you got to work at it every day, every single day.
So it's a mindset thing. And then, but once you're in that mindset, it becomes a way of life, right?
Yeah. Then, you know, once you start doing it and it becomes, the norm, then it's easy, man.
Yeah, I think it's, we're all sensitive to the fact that there's evil in the world. And, you know, you look at people that would look at you and say, like, are you serious that I would do that? And.
Well, we don't want to believe it.
Right.
That's the problem, too. We don't like to believe it.
Right. And in a way,
we don't want to think that it's never going to happen to us. I love that one. Well, it's never going to happen to me. That's great. That's wishing.
Right. Yeah. Are you willing to bet your life on that?
Or the life of your children?
Yeah. Are you willing to make that bet? That's pretty sobering because you see it on TV every day. This stuff was never intended to happen to any of those people.
Woohoo.
Ever.
Yeah. 3 months ago, I bet you Molly Tibbetts never had it on her mind that she was going to die soon. Or whenever she died. Maybe she died before that, but, you know, last year.
Right.
The last thing on Molly Tibbetts' mind was, boy, you know, I'm going to be dead soon.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, I can tell you from being from a family, I never thought, I'm an upper middle class white kid. Domestic violence is not supposed to darken our doorstep. It's not supposed to work like that. Right?
Yeah.
But it did.
I should never be exposed to that.
Yeah, what? What do you mean? How could it affect my family? You know, doesn't it only happen to poor people? Right? Or people that have mental health issues? Yeah, well, I got cured of that pretty quick.
Well, I always talk, you know, I love it. It's an equal opportunity employer.
Absolutely.
It does not just, it doesn't care about race, gender, creed, sex, religion, anything. It's an equal opportunity employer.
And so again, part of me like envies them and then part of me pities them. It's like, I wish I could live in the world that you think you live in, you know, you know, you are rolling the dice on yourself, and you're rolling the dice on the people that depend on you. And so I hope that you get smart pretty soon because, you know, again, and you're going to look at it and say, yeah, it's not going to happen to me, blah, 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 blah. Okay. All right. I hope you're right.
Except Molly in Iowa.
Yeah.
So of all places, Iowa.
Yeah. Yep. So, all right. I wanted to ask you about that because of the teaching you do, and Rudy was all about having you come out and do a class out here in California. Has he ever followed up about that?
No, he's a fly guy, man.
I know.
Bright shiny object. Bright shiny object.
A bright shiny object. We have to get that bright shiny object for you. You know, the other thing I think is really cool is how much you've come to enjoy teaching that class.
Yeah, because I see the result.
Right.
The results are immediate. You know, immediate. That's what's amazing to me. That's why I love it so much. I think is the fact that again, it's just so much fun because. They get it so quickly.
That is interesting. You know, and I've said this about domestic violence when I go speak. You don't have to. Women get it. Guys don't get it. The guys don't understand it. It's like, whoa. But, you know, women understand what it's like to live in a world where other people can overpower them relatively easily. They get it.
Right.
Guys, we look around like, what? Like, what? Like, I don't get why this is a big, I don't understand what you're talking about.
What are you talking about?
Exactly. But women, from the get-go, they get it. From the get-go, they get it. So it's very interesting, you know, when you have, you know, separate audiences and then a mixed gender audience. Very interesting, the kind of the collision of, you know, our world views, you know, like,
right.
Well, what do you mean? You know, what do you mean? And I think, so, yeah. Another email. Hey, can I make a recommendation for a future gun talk? Mike, will you take?
Oh, God.
Will you take?
Sure, I'll take a recommendation. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead. It's your show, guys. If you believe that, then I guess be sure in Tennessee.
Deer season is coming up for those of us who hunt.
Right, right.
Could we do a deer gun version of gun talk that would include ammunition, sights, specifically for those of us who do hunt deer? Mike?
Yeah, we can do that. I mean, I don't... Yeah, we can do that. I mean, so deer hunting is the easiest thing you can ever do. Go hunt turkeys. I think turkeys is harder than deer.
I hear guys who hunt turkey love to hunt turkey.
Yeah, that's you want a challenge. Go hunt turkey. But yeah, we can do that. I mean, it's simple though. I mean, what do you want to do? Are you wanting to shoot and just provide the meat? You know, the
well, we'll cover all of it. We'll do it. We'll do deer stand hunting.
Yeah,
we'll do if you. If
no,
you,
I don't deer stand hunt. I've never been in a deer stand ever.
Okay, so do you,
I don't think I ever will. I like stalking the animal. I like.
But you're from Minnesota.
Like the
they all they love deer stands in Minnesota.
They do, and you know a lot of states do.
Do you ever have?
I don't.
Have you ever had people that you send out to drive animals in a certain direction? Obviously, if you're a stalker, you haven't. But
no, I didn't. I didn't know that's still illegal. I didn't know that was legal.
I'd have to
driving
check.
Animals to their slaughter.
I'll have to check if that's legal. I know people that do it though.
Yeah, I'd check. That to me is like, come on, guys.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know people that do it. They have a deer stand, right? And then so-and-so is going to start walking about a mile. The kill zone is going to be here. And, you know, and then their limit of where they're going is here. I'll tell you an interesting during deer season. You have people that live in rural areas. You know where they spend their, you know where they spend their like the opening of deer season. You know where they spend the weekend?
Oh, out and getting ready to go. Yeah, they wait for the morning of and then they're out.
Okay, you know the people that stay in their homes and don't hunt. You know where they go? In the basement.
Where? Oh, really? That bad?
Yeah, it's amazing the stories that they'll tell about.
I just think it's stupid, too, that you have to wear orange. I mean, if you're that incompetent of a shooter, that you have to, people have to wear orange so you don't accidentally mistake them for an animal.
How about when somebody shoots somebody who's wearing orange?
You know, I'll tell you this. One time I was hunting, we had a bullet go over our head. And so hunter, you know, I heard the crack and then I heard the bullet. I just chucked it off to, and he didn't just overshot or whatever. Then it happened once again. And then I knew, you know, this idiot thinks that we're game with orange. And it was the closest I've ever come to taking another human's life here in the United States like that. Cause I got up on the hill, picked my scope caps off, chambered the round, was looking for the son of a bitch, and I was telling myself, if he aims in at me again, I'm going to put him down. But then they just walked off, and I'm thinking, well, how lucky, if I could meet that guy and tell him, do you know how close the Grim Reaper came to selling you that day? Because I tell you what, pal, I wouldn't have missed. And I would have chalked it in it. No court of the land would have convicted me on that because that was self-defense. You were intentionally trying to shoot me. And I had orange on.
A third time.
A third time. Yeah. Once, I can understand. Twice?
It was me being nice.
If you would have done it a third time, yeah. There wouldn't have been no form. I guarantee you that. Yeah, it just drives me absolutely batshit crazy, man. The way people hunt. The way they carry on. I mean, still in cop stations, when in the police station where cops are taking their guns out and they're pointing them all over the fucking place. I mean, it drives me absolutely crazy. Because people don't understand. You know, I have four safety rules. One, all guns are loaded. I took the words out of treat as if or any of those words that kind of have the belief that maybe, just maybe, it's not loaded. No, all guns are loaded. If it's not in my possession, it's not in my hand, and I didn't already clear it, it's loaded. I pick it up, I remove the source of ammunition, I clear it, and now it's clear as long as I maintain control of it. Once I set it back down, gun's loaded again. Now, I know that sounds stupid, but that's the lifestyle that talks about, that's just living it, like situational awareness. You got to live that lifestyle. You just can't pick up bits and pieces.
But there is no other way to, there is no other way to do it if you want to enjoy shooting and you want to do it for any,
right.
There is no, I mean, what other way to do it is to not know?
Cut corners. That's why people get hurt. When you start cutting corners when it comes to shooting or guns are involved, that's why I'm sometimes pulled apart when this whole Second Amendment, that just because you're born in America, you should have a gun. I believe that. I really, really, really do. But also, I've seen what people that, you know, believe that they, just because they're old enough, they can buy a gun. And I'm like, oh. The problem is, I don't care if you know, again, if you're just, you're removing yourself from the gene pool, that's great. But the problem is, most people, that you're taking out someone that someone really cared about because you're negligent. That's where I have a problem.
If it was only going to be you, no problem.
Yeah.
How about it? But
no problem. Take yourself out. Go for it.
The problem is it rarely seems to be you. Like, you know, Mike and I rail about leaders that do stupid stuff. And because, look, if it was you paying the price for your own stupidity, no problem. But it's not you. It's somebody who works for you that pays the price for your stupidity, and that's not right, not right.
Oh yeah.
So, and this is guns on demand, man. Guns on demand. No bueno. All right, man. What are you doing this weekend? Other than talking to your dad about coming on the program.
Yeah, I need to. You're right. I think I'm going to, so. That would be fun. I think that would be a lot of fun.
It'd be interesting, I mean, to know where he was. And I'll tell you what, I really enjoyed learning about Vietnam. I did not know. I knew about Vietnam, but, you know, with Google Earth and to be able to look at the terrain and reading more, that series certainly helped. I really enjoy, because that's the last enemy that we fought that would close with us, would get after us, and really formidable.
Mm-hmm.
So how those guys did it and how they did all of it, I've found really, really fascinating. And the Marine Corps was a really different place. I think we're much more professional now. I think some of the things that, you know, that I've, you know, some of the battle studies I've done have a common theme. You're telling an opso of either a regiment or a battalion that you don't know what you're talking about, right? I'm out here. We shouldn't be doing that. And then you got these shut up in color. And what's worse,
yep,
was they did shut up in color. And guys got killed because of it. I think now, the quality guys I know, if some jackass opso gave them an order and they knew it wasn't right, they wouldn't do it. They wouldn't do it. Or they'd do it, they'd modify it in a way that made it executable. But the stories in Vietnam, some of them are brutal. But I'll tell you what,
they're just horrible. Yeah.
Yeah, it was men's town though. I was straight up men's town, and so no, it'd be cool to have them on. Anyway, all right. Well, have a good weekend.
All right, man.
All right.
And we'll talk to you later.
Go Sox. Are the Sox ever going to slow down and stop winning?
Yeah, they're going to.
I don't think so, man. They're unstoppable now. They never. They lost two in a row, and it was a catastrophe. What?
To bullshit teams, too.
I know. I know. But I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see in the playoffs. But they never lose. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. It's they won their 90th game yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Straight up crazy. I mean, they have a chance to set the all-time. They can go in, let's see how many days. There's seven more games to play, maybe six. I haven't looked at their schedule in mm-hmm. August. So let's just say they go into September with 95 wins. All right, that means they have to win 15, they have to win 21 games to tie or break the record. And they'll certainly within the realm of possibility. But
yeah, that's crazy, man.
It's like it's completely crazy. They're just, and they're not, nobody's even close to them. Yankees have the second best record of baseball, and they are 9.5 games behind the Red Sox today. Second best record in baseball. So anyway,
yeah,
right, Buck,
have
a good weekend.
All right, talk to you later.
There you have it. The one and only Michael Musselman on a Friday edition of All Marine Radio. One more email. Can we go back to falling off a ship? Of course we can. Somebody just sent me an email that says this, headline, Jack is the man. Email says this, Jack is my dog. Jack jumping from the third floor is awesome. If you've never heard the story, I told it the other day, and Chris obviously listened to it. It's a straight up no shitter, man. It's a straight up no shitter. The no-shitter is this. As we get out the door. Oh, no. Bonus coverage day. What am I doing? Not the end of the program. You got to hear part two of the chef when he talks about the part two of the seafood grill, the mixed seafood grill. Yeah. So, okay, so here's the Jack story that I told the other day. If you haven't heard of it, this is, like, legit, and it's funny as hell. I was retiring from the Marine Corps, and I thought, well, if I get a place up near Los Angeles, you know, there's a lot of jobs up there. You'll find something, and then you work it from there, right? All right. So that's the plan. Get a place in West Los Angeles, move up there. So I'm unpacking, and it's on the third floor. It's got a balcony, and the balcony has, you know, has vertical bars on it. And then, like, in the middle of the bar, there's a medallion. Okay, so it's a grill. It's got two, they would be diamond medallions in the grills as it kind of spans from left to right. So, there's a couple places that Jack can stick his head through, no doubt. But you're three floors up. Okay? So, I'm unpacking. Jack's cruising around. All right? He walks to the balcony, sticks his head through the bars, and he looks around, and then he comes back in. I'm like, all right, Jack's got it figured out. But I even did take him out there, and I looked to see if the bars were more narrow than his shoulders, and they were. Okay, so I'm unpacking. All of a sudden, from the street, I hear this screaming, ah! And it's not like normal, like, oh my God, screaming, like, oh, right? It's like screaming. And so I run to the balcony and I look down and there's a guy and a girl. They have a dog on a leash down below my balcony, three floors down. There's a big palm tree. that goes above the apartment building. Been there for I don't know how many years, a long time. And there's a flower bed around the palm tree that has bark in it, and then there's the grass from the lawn of the apartment building. I see Jack down there, and I look. So I see that the woman's fine. I see Jack, and I said, "Did he jump?" And she's like, and then the guy looks up at me. She's still screaming, and the guy looks at me and says, "Yeah." So I go running down there. Jack's trying to get up and walk. I thought he broke his leg, but he knocked himself fucking sideways. So he's trying, his brain is scrambled. He's trying to walk. He can't, but he wants to play with their two dogs. They're walking. And so I pick him up, and I'm like, I hope he's okay. I hope he didn't break himself. And I apologize to them. Hey, sorry for my dog jumping off the balcony. So we go upstairs, and I have to tell you that my respect for Jack grew that day. Okay? Yeah, straight up grew. As, look, here's what Jack did. He stuck his head through the bars, and he says, "Wow, look at those dogs. I should be playing with those dogs." And then he sticks his head through the bars, right? And he looks around and goes, "I could do this." So what does he do? He gets his shoulders through, and he looks, and he jumps. Poosh, airborne. Poosh. Now, in spite of the fall, okay, you have got to respect that. In an animal, okay? You've got to, that's like a wayward Lance Corporal move, okay? And you've got to respect that. You've got to respect that in Jack. So, with that said, we're going to take a break. When we come back, you'll hear the chef and you're going to hear him, in part two. But again, don't touch that dial because I asked him a question about something that he made that was delicious, right? And it was called the Mixed Seafood Grill. And it involved scampi, yeah, garlic and butter, pfft, hello. It involved scampi, crab cakes, and scallops, I think he used to use, or a third form of fish. And he'll talk about it. So I would tell you, among the things that I've ever eaten that he's prepared, that, to me, is like numero uno. So, don't touch that dial. A little bit of bonus coverage on a Friday. Keep the chef in your prayers. He's undergoing an angiogram today. I'll keep you posted. So, more of Allmaring Radio. Bonus coverage on a Friday, coming up next. On your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.